All right, have your seat. Good morning, everyone. What is not hidden from me, from the pages of the scriptures, to the teachings of the saints, eternal reality, am I to grasp. This is my inheritance, the revelation of God in Christ. It's mine to understand, it's mine to grasp. The things you say to yourself when you are listening to your sermons and it looks like you're not understanding it, you're saying, reading the same thing over again, and just take a break. This is my inheritance. The revelation of God in Christ is mine to understand, except you don't have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. All right, so can I see our books? Your books are ready to study this morning. I know it's been born again. That has a hardcover note. All right, let me see your books, please. Raise it up. Thank you. You ready for church? Jay, let me see your book. Glory. All right. Even Prince has a hardcover note. Awesome. All right, let me see your Bibles. Okbeo. Small Sense finally has a hardcover Bible this morning. This is a beautiful morning. Hallelujah. In fact, my day is complete. He has a hardcover Bible. Awesome. All right, let me see your pen. Does the person sitting beside? Okay, he has one. All right, so now we are ready to learn. Father Abraham has his pen and his spec. Hallelujah. Okay, let's start. Now in church, we teach. Teaching is the fundamental thing we do when we gather. And how you prepare for service shows that you're ready to learn. Shows your attention, all the materials that you will need, shows that you understand what you came for, and you're willing and ready to participate. So on Wednesday, we started a topic titled Influence, and I'll try to do a brief recap so we can continue. We said that man is a being of choice. Man is a being of choice. I already started. And that every time he makes decisions. Every day he makes decisions. Every day. Say for us to say you have a choice, it means that you have alternatives. You must have options. If there are no options and you're presented with just something, this must be it. That means there is no choice. But your exercise of choice shows that you have alternatives to either choose or create for yourself. Now, it is not every wrong decision that a man makes that is sin. For example, you can make a bad investment decision. You can decide, based on information available to you, to invest your money in something, and at the end of the day, it doesn't yield as you thought it would yield. Now, the fact that it did not yield, is it sin? Is it sin? No. But that was a bad decision. So also, you can say, I have a lot of money, let me buy a car. Or you just assume that you have a lot of money. You know how it might look somehow that somebody has a lot of money because someone just dashes you $500,000. Wow, I have so much money. And then you use all the money to buy a car. And at the end of the day, you don't even have money to buy fuel in the car anymore. Is that a sin? Well, that's a bad decision, a very bad one. So the fact that you make a bad decision does not necessarily mean it's a sin. What is sin is man's negative or contrary decision based on the provision of God. And last week, so on Wednesday, that provision of God is Christ. What God has always provided for man, constant, even before man was created, is Christ. So, you can make normal poor decisions that are just a reflection of misguided opinions that we will not call sin. But when, as touching God's provision, that is Christ, that God says, Christ is my will for man, the negative decision a man makes regarding that Christ is where we cannot say sin is. That's how we identify sin. So, that decision as touching the gospel, and in simple terms, at the Fine Assembly, we understand that the gospel is faith in Christ and love for the saints. Summary. If you want to summarize the gospel, faith in Christ, love for the saints. That decision you make that does not reflect this gospel is sin. It's sin. As we saw in Genesis 2:16, let's start our reading from there again. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now we have understood that this intention of God from Genesis 1:26, even from Genesis 1, has been Christ. So any decision Adam now makes regarding that option of Christ made available to him is sin. Now, before I progress, please don't forget that thoughts are not yet sin. A negative thought is not yet a sin until you agree with it and then it plays out in your action. Thoughts can come. You don't say, hey, the fact that the thought came at all, it means I've committed sin. Let me just go and do it so that the sin will be complete. Ah, don't forget James 1. It is when lust is fully conceived that it becomes sin. Every man sins when he's drawn away by that desire. So that it is in your thoughts, first of all, does not automatically mean it is sin. The sin in your thought is not yet sin. You must first agree with it. So that is why you counter it with what the truth should be. All right, so now when we now we have identified sin, that is man's contrary decision based on that Christ that is provided to him or presented to him. What will now be sinful nature? You know, we keep hearing sinful nature, sin nature, sin nature, sin nature. Sin nature will not be just a once decision a man makes. This is a recap of Wednesday. But rather, the repetitive nature, the repetitive action of that man saying no. So it is that constant, continuous, repetitive aspect of always refusing this provision of Christ that is referred to as a sinful nature. So, an understanding of this will make you realize that a man cannot be born with a sinful nature. Why? Because he must first make decisions. It is that constant decision, the always, every time, making the same decision contrary to the provision of Christ, of God in Christ, that is your sinful nature. Divine, do you understand me? Okay. So, we say sinful nature or sin nature as the repetitive action of this specific sin. It is a habit of rebellion. Don't forget again, like we said, how do we know sin, or how do we see unbelief? How can we say there is rebellion? Number one, there must be a message which the man understands, yet disregards or does not prioritize. So, for me to know that there is sin, we must first of all, before you say, hey, a man is walking in unbelief, you must first of all identify what is the message presented to him. When you identify that message, you say, okay, is this message understood? If it is understood, then you will not check in his actions. Is he disregarding this message or is he refusing to prioritize it? That is sin. So you cannot say a man is in unbelief when there is no message. There is no unbelief without a message. That is clear. So, then what is this result of this action called sin? As we have seen in Romans 5:12, we see that that result is death. That death is separation. The absence of God in a man's spirit is what is referred to as death. Death, separation. Separation from that destination that God has in mind for man, which is Spirit of God in the spirit of man. And this separation is a result of man's sin. And if sin is a creation of man, that means that separation will be a creation of man as well. This is an offshoot of sin. Do you understand? That means if death is the result of sin, and we have seen that sin is a result of a man's decision, not God. So God presents Christ, a man says no, 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 continually from his actions. That's the result of his saying no produces death. So who do we link death to? The man. So that separation, that journey, that condemnation is self-inflicted. It's a journey that a man embarks on his own. Like the example I gave you on Wednesday, if this is the path placed before you, or you are told, this is where I want you, this is the only thing I have for you, this. And you see this, you understand this, yet you say you don't want this, you want the microphone. So in living here to this, you have created a path for yourself, you have created a journey for yourself. And what you will get at the end of that journey is separation from, because God is here, is separation from God. So God did not cause that separation. Rather, you caused it by your action. So it is a journey you embark on, and that journey, the end of that journey, is death. See, in different ways, and I'm sure we understand now. All right, so say again now, a location or an option or a path in front of you, your refusal to arrive or receive that means you are creating your own destination, you are creating your own path for yourself. And that end result is death. And on Wednesday again, we saw the influence of Adam's sin. We said that there are two scripturally recognized options presented to man. When we talk about influence, the Bible says the first man, all right, let's read it, 1 Corinthians. We'll start from there this morning, 1 Corinthians 15. That as touching influence, the scripture recognizes only two kinds of influence and two carriers or originators of those influences. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 45. Are we there? Are we there? Okay, very good. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is natural. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So, how many men does the Bible recognize there? Two. But is it only two men we have in this earth? And from the creation? No. We have had billions of men. But the Bible says the first man, second man. First man, earthly. This one is earthly. The second one is heavenly. So that shows that there is a pattern already on earth. And every other man that will come after will definitely be after each of these patterns. We are either after the first man or after the second man. So when we talk about influence, they have only two recognized influence in the scriptures, obedience and disobedience. And the person credited with disobedience in the scriptures is Adam. Okay? That's what we have analyzed in the first part of the sermon, part one. So today we are going to look at the second influence. Second influence. Second influence. Now, when we say the second man is the Lord from heaven, Christ, does it mean that Adam existed before Christ? No. Because in Genesis 1:26, as we saw, before even man was created, the choice of man being in God's image was already there. And We see in the scriptures, a lot of persons were not here on Wednesday, and we've read that, so I think I should have to read again. Let's start, Genesis 1:26. We're not hurrying anywhere. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, we see God saying, let us make man in our image, right? So if God is saying, let us make man in our image, that means there was already an image that God had in mind. Okay? All right, let's see now. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Verse 13. Start from 12. Giving thanks, are we there? Right, which is not there. Colossians 1, 12. Colossians 1:12. We're trying to see if Christ is a new introduction to humanity. Colossians 1, from verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, Bible study, verse 12, verse 13. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So who is the Son there? Who is the Son? Christ. Now, verse 14 now says, in whom we have redemption. So who is the whom? Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. 15. Who is? So who is the who there? Christ. So Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him, who is the him? Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So, the scripture tells us clearly that Christ is the image of God. So, if God says, I want man in my image, who would that image be? Christ. I want man in Christ. So, would that image have existed before the man, before the man's creation? Yes. So, even if he had a second man, Christ, does not mean that Adam was original in God's intention. Of course, we know that the manifestation of Christ was in the incarnation. But if you followed our Jesus carefully, you will know that he existed even before in the utterances, in a message, in an intention. That is why he told the people, he told the Israelites, that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. And that was why they wanted to stone him. You are not yet 40 and you are saying Abraham saw your day. So knowing how ancient Abraham was in Genesis, yet Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. So that was referring to his deity, how he existed even before man in the message. Is that clear all around? Okay, now let's continue. So Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. From verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, according to verse 4, when was this intention of God? Before the foundation of the world. And we have already seen that that intention is Christ. So,
Christ as God's intention, as God's pattern for man, has been even before man, before the foundation of the world. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 3. Are we there? Hebrews 4, okay, wait for you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished, from where? From the foundation of the world. All right, so let's see another one. First Peter. First Peter, chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And listen carefully. He is drawing two distinctions. He's saying from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last day times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, what was Peter telling them there? That your faith is founded in Christ, who was slain and foreordained from where? Before the foundation of the world. But now it's now made manifest to you in these last days. Because the last days will be the days of his incarnation. So Jesus was not a new introduction to humanity. God has foreordained him, even before man, that he will be the life of man. That has always been God's plan. That Jesus Christ will be the life for man. Be the life of man. He will be the one to give men life, even before he came into the scene. Why can we boldly say this? Because if Christ was not available for Adam to believe, then we cannot say that Adam committed sin by being in unbelief. You understand? Because we say for there to be sin, there must be an option for a man to reject. So if Christ was not available as an option for Adam, then we cannot call Adam's refusal a sin. We cannot even say Adam refused anything because there was nothing to be rejected or accepted. Is that clear? All right. So he was available even for the first man to believe as an option. That is why Adam cannot be justified in his rebellion. Not be justified in his rebellion. Scripture opens Genesis 1:3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We see that the scripture opens up with the introduction of the gospel, with light being available in Christ. We see it in Genesis 1:26, even before man came. So life has always been the plan. Death was never the option. Death was never the plan. Life has always, always, irrevocably been the plan of God. Life for man has been the plan. Death was never it. Death was a creation of man because man sinned. Death was a creation of man. Let's see Titus. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, so Titus. Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God, verse 1, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So we have seen clearly that that has never been God's plan, not light, but rather the man, the preacher, through preaching manifests that eternal life for man. So resurrection was not when life was created. Life was not created at the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection was not the creation of life. No, life has always been an option for man. Rather, the resurrection was a manifestation of life, and it made it possible for man to receive it. I said, happy, that the resurrection, when Jesus died and rose again, that resurrection was not when life, eternal life, was created. No. Eternal life has been available for man. But what we see at the resurrection was that this life became manifest. Let's see 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 from verse 9 and 10. This should make it clearer. Everyone should understand this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. Yeah, let me start from verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Before when? Before the world began. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had what? Abolished death and did what? Through the gospel. So did he say created life? No, he said he abolished death and brought life, immortality, to light through the gospel. So that revelation of, hey, this is what is available for you, receive this, is what Jesus made possible through his death, burial, and resurrection. But from the beginning, life, eternal life, immortality has been God's plan for man. Because God is life, he has no death in him, so all he gave man was life. Is it clear to this point? Is it clear to this point, Jen? Okay. Now let's continue. The pattern of obedience, this always, if Christ is not a new introduction, and we've already seen that in Christ there is a pattern of obedience, while in Adam, a pattern of disobedience. So this pattern of obedience available in Christ predates the first man who acted in obedience. The pattern of obedience that we see available in Christ existed before any man acted in obedience. There was already a pattern in Christ. Obedience. So, in God's mind, in God's intention, the pattern of obedience is already there in Christ. So, when Abel acted in obedience, he already had a pattern. When Noah acted in obedience, there was already a pattern that existed before. When Abraham acted in obedience, there was already a pattern. So, the pattern of obedience in Christ predates man's obedience. Every obedience is possible because of that Christ obedience. Because we have a pattern of obedience already in Christ, presented to man, that is why every obedience of man is possible even before Christ was manifest in the flesh. Okay? Divine, is it clear? Yes. So, that is why we can say this is an influence to copy. Because if Christ's obedience was not existing before Abel, who should we say should be the pattern of obedience? No, Adam is already the pattern of disobedience in scriptures. So who should we now say should be the pattern of obedience? Abel. But to show you that Christ's obedience existed even before Abel, that is why Christ is still the example of obedience, not Abel. So we credit every obedience to Christ's obedience, which already existed in the intention of God. That is why we call obedience a gift of God. Every obedience is made possible because there is an obedience found in Christ. Give God the glory for that. That is why we say it is a gift of God. That the faith in the gospel is a gift of God. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now, let us now see Romans 5. Last week Tuesday, that should be last week Tuesday, Independence Day. We had a study here on Romans 5. Pastor did a study for us, Romans 5, and we had classwork and homework as a result of that. We are going to do it again. Romans 5. This is a chapter that places the two influences that the scripture recognizes side by side. Places the two influences, explains it, talks about the consequence side by side. Are we ready to do the study? Romans 5. Start. From verse 12. We read it again. We read it from verse 12 down. Then we'll start the study again. Okay? So this is just an idea. What I want you to note as we are reading is now the influence. We've talked about two kinds of influence, Adam, Christ. So I want you to note that influence as you are reading through, and then the consequence of each influence. Okay, let's start. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law, sin was in the world, for sin is not imputed. You don't have a Bible, sir? Please ensure he's reading. For sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, are abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, now let's start our study. Are you ready? Romans 5:12. We're going to do a verse-by-verse analysis again. Then we'll do a practical session. Are we ready? See the eyes. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay. Now, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world. So, what will be this sin? Okay, first of all, who is the one man? Adam. So, what will be the sin there? Disobedience. Rebellion. So, unbelief, disobedience is the sin that entered into the world. And what is the consequence of that sin? Death. Death came by that sin. Is that clear? Please be noting it down so that because it will help you when we start doing our practical session. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, that all men there, can it be all men in the world? So this death cannot be upon all men. Because even in the scriptures, we see that not all men sinned like Adam. Is that correct? Did Abel sin like Adam? Was Abel in unbelief? Was Abraham in unbelief? Was Noah? So, it cannot be all men that sinned that sin. That means, if you have your My Sword Bible with you, it is going to be a good way for you to follow me through this, especially for those of you that have not been here when Pastor has done this analysis before. So, if we are going to rephrase this, we can simply say that by one man, that means sin in all unbelief, a pattern of rebellion, was in the world because of one man's rebellion. Okay? So, sinning or unbelief was in the world because one man was sinning. His own rebellion taught others to sin. Taking that clear? His own rebellion taught others to sin because men copied him. A pattern existed in the world because of one man's sin. A pattern of disobedience existed in the world because of one man's disobedience. And the result of that disobedience is separation, condemnation. So, other men copied him, and that consequence passed on all those who copied him. Is that clear? It's coming in. For by one man, sin entered into the world. That one man we have seen is Adam. The sin there we have seen is disobedience, a pattern of unbelief. So, because of Adam, unbelief entered into the world, and death by that sin. The result of unbelief is death. So, one man has introduced this. By introducing this, he gave a pattern. So, that consequence of his unbelief, which is choice, which is death, also came upon all who exercised the same choice as he did. Like we see it clear now. So, it's just simple. A pattern, Adam. Okay, let me use this our symbol. Adam here. Sin. Okay, let me use this way. Adam, sin. The consequence of sin is what? Death. So, others after Adam started copying this same thing. And of course, they started increasing. That's why it was increasing like this. So, more men came after this same pattern of sin. So, what did they get? This same consequence. And of course, that's why they were also increasing. Is it clear now? If it's not clear, we'll explain again. Ruth, is it clear? Okay. Okay, so that's verse 12. Verse 12, so it cannot be all men. Rather, it is all men who copied him. All men who did as he did. This pattern is there. This is a consequence of that pattern. So anyone who came after that pattern, who copied it, will get the same. This one, does this switch up again? Okay. All men who came after that pattern had the same thing. Okay, now let's see verse 13. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Don't forget, it is the men who copy the pattern of unbelief that we get death. Death is not a nature that is transferable. Death is a consequence of something. So if you don't copy the action, you cannot get the nature. The action is disobedience. Death is the nature. So by copying the disobedience, you will now get the death. So it is not automatic. Death is personal to individual sins. It is not transferred. That is verse 12. So verse 13 now says, for unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So, this gives us a time frame. Saying unto the law, sin was in the world. So what would be the period between when sin was in the world and the law? Don't forget, sin was introduced when? By one man. Who? Adam. So, and the law came by Moses. So what would be until the law, sin was in the world? That would be when? From Adam to Moses. So, sin was there from Adam. That did not change. So, even unto, but unto the, before the law, right, okay, unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. That means there was nothing to show men that, hey, you are in sin. You are in sin. You are in sin. There is no that imputation to any man's account that this is what you are doing. But sin was there. That unbelief was there. But there was until, even when there was no law. Now, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. So, verse 14 now gives us the time frame in question clearer. You know, we've already identified the time frame in verse 13. So verse 14 now says it clearly. Adam to Moses. Now, we have said that death is what? The consequence of sin. So even if a man does not know that this is my action, will it stop the consequence? Will it stop the consequence? No. So, death reigned from Adam to Moses, first of all, that one was sure. Then see the second part, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, see the second part. Them that had not sinned after Adam's transgression. What is Adam's transgression? Disobedience, unbelief. So who will be those who have not sinned like Adam? Those that were not in unbelief. Now, can we say those ones were condemned? If death will be condemnation or separation, would we say they had condemnation? So what would be this death here? You understand? So let us read it again. Okay, so read it again. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the pattern, the similitude of Adam's transgression. We'll come back to that last one. So, this is telling us clearly, first of all, there were those who had a different pattern, who did not follow Adam's pattern. There were persons like that, even before Moses. Now, death reigning will now be different from them being in death. What we say a kingdom, something that is reigning, the influence of something is already on the earth, and persons are receiving of that same influence. Now, don't forget, when we are tracing on Wednesday, a message that was not prioritized, what were the things that Adam was doing outside not prioritizing that message? We saw different things. We saw creating a body. We saw creating a helpmate, in quotes, a body, but we saw animals as well. So all those things were not supposed to be wrong in themselves, but supposed to be after a message that was prioritized. So why do we have physical death today? Why do we have death? Why do people die as a physical death? Why do they die? So we have death because the body that Adam created is mortal. It is not immortal. It is mortal. It is subject to death. And because the body is not immortal, there are also other things that are offshoots of that body. Examples of which is what? Sickness. Why is a man sick? Because the body is frail. Why would mosquito, one tiny insect like that, tiny, bite some persons and they become sick? It's because of the kind of body they have. So you cannot necessarily overblame mosquitoes. But of course, fumigate and do everything you should do. But sickness and all those things are a ripple effect of the death in man's body, the mortality in man's body. So, even persons that were not in sin, did they die physically? Did they die physically? Also, even persons who, before Adam or after Adam, persons who were not in rebellion, did they have the Spirit of God? Did they have the Spirit of God? So, those were the things we can see. Well, but was it by their choice? It wasn't by their choice. But already, because of the pattern of, because death has been introduced, death must also now happen for life to come. Don't forget, death was never the plan. The plan was what? Life. So the introduction of death now made some things come up. Please follow our Jesus series as it continues, series 1, series 2, and then series 3. You'll see why that was not the plan. So when we say death reigned from Adam to Moses, meaning that even those that were not in rebellion still had the effect of death on them. And the effect of death, as we have seen, is both the physical and then the absence of God's Spirit. But were they in condemnation? No. Because if you follow that teachings, a man that has believed is above condemnation. We have freedom from condemnation and receiving the Spirit, which is sonship. They were free from condemnation, but they did not have the Spirit. Now, okay, let's continue verse 14 again. Even over them that are not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So what is the focus here in that sentence? Adam's what? Transgression. So the second phrase, what is he describing? What is in question here? Is it Adam or his transgression? Are you reading? Let's read again. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not sinned after the similitude, after the pattern of Adam's transgression. So, who is the figure of him that was to come? Would mean what? Are you thinking? Okay, so Adam's transgression. Then who is the figure of him that was to come? Because persons read this and think that Adam was a type of Christ. Do you understand? That is the understanding persons get from here, but that's not true. What he's describing here is Adam's transgression. And he's saying that you see the word similitude, pattern. So this Adam's transgression has set a pattern for others that will follow. All that transgression will be after this pattern. So, we had men that did not follow that transgression, that pattern. Is that clear? Let's read again. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Don't lose anything from verse 12. He has already talked about sin entered into a world, death by sin, by one man. Now, he's saying because of that sin, death was introduced. And we've seen the death as both physical, absence of the Spirit, condemnation. That was the reign of death. Now, even those who did not follow Adam's pattern of transgression, that similitude, that pattern, were not sinning like Adam, yet they still had a blanket of death reigning over them, which manifested in both their physical death and the absence of the spirit. So now you say, these ones did not sin after that Adam's transgression, which is a figure of what was to come. If you look at your Greek word there, you will see that the him is not there. Okay? There is no him, because the him is what makes it look like he's referring to a person that should come. So he's simply saying, this transgression of Adam is a pattern that all that transgression, once it's called transgression, according to the provision of God in Christ, will follow this same pattern. So today, what is the sin that takes a man to hell? What is the sin that causes eternal separation? Unbelief. What was that pattern? Who created it? Adam. So that pattern of unbelief, every other thing that will cause that death to happen is after that pattern. Adam's transgression is the pattern, is the figure, is the example that all other transgression follows after. Whether the man that we see 1,000 years from now is following which pattern? Adam. No one else. Is that clear now? Is verse 14 clear? Prince, is verse 14 clear? Okay, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now, don't forget, verse 12. What is the sin in discussion here? What's the sin in discussion? Unbelief, disobedience. Right? So, no matter the word that is used to describe it, don't lose sight of that fact. So, verse 15, right? But not as what? The offense. So what will offense mean? Unbelief, disobedience. So not as that disobedience, so also is the free gift. Now, what will be the opposite of disobedience? Read your Bible. What will be the opposite of disobedience? So if offense is disobedience, what will the gift be mean? Root, what will the gift mean? Obedience. Vivian, is it clear? I'm looking at all your faces. So the expression that shows confusion is what I'm trying to take away. Alright? So don't forget, we will use different words to describe something, but what is in discussion does not change. So we are discussing Adam, Christ. Don't forget from part one to all we have said this morning. We have two patterns of men that every other action falls under. We have seen Adam as a pattern of what? Disobedience. We have seen Christ as a pattern of what? Obedience. Now, already what is the question is in is Adam, Christ. So everything that falls under, whatever you want to use to describe it, unbelief, disobedience, offense, there will be plenty of things. But what we are talking about is the same thing, that pattern that they have presented. The same thing with Christ. Is that clear now? All right, let's read 15 again. But not as the offense, so not as the offense will also be, not as what? The disobedience, not as the rebellion. So also is the free gift, which will be, so is the obedience. For if through, now he's trying to say that the two actions are separate. He's distinguishing the two actions now, and also everything that will come about as a result of that action. Okay? That's why he's saying not as the offense, so it's a gift. Now let's continue. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. So, remember verse 14. Who were the men in question here? Who were the persons that were being discussed in verse 14? Those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So did the Bible call those ones dead? Verse 14, were they called dead? But what was said to be happening to them? Death was reigning. So the reign of death still had an effect on them, but they were not dead. There was a distinction between their nature and what was happening. Okay? Now, Verse 15 now says, not as the offense, so is the gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. Who will be this many? Prince, are you following? Who will be the many there? Those are what? Of unbelief. So, don't forget, unbelief already has, the sin of unbelief has its own consequence, which is death. So, the offense or the action is unbelief. The nature, the corresponding nature, is death. So, if through the offense, many be dead. Now, when he's saying the offense of one, many be dead, hope you get it from verse 12, that these many are those who followed the same offense. Not that automatic many became dead. Why? Because of what he said next. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, and abounded unto many. Now, we have said that the gift will be obedience, right? And what has abounded because of that gift? Life. Is it automatic? Is it automatic? And we say Jesus has died, resurrected, eternal life is now, by God, they should say that is now Yafu Yafu. So, right now, everybody has eternal life. No. So, if it cannot be automatic like that, so also, death because of Adam's sin cannot be automatic. Even the sin is not automatic. Individuals have their own actions, and then they get the nature based on whatever action that they adopt. There is an action consequence. And from Adam and Christ, we have seen two actions. In Adam, we see an action of rebellion, and we see a consequence of death. In Christ, we see an action of obedience, and we see a consequence of life. So, many be dead. Many who adopted the same action will have death from Adam. Those who will have life, many who have copied the obedience of Christ will have life. Is it clear? Okay, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Now, this judgment there, you can replace it with the word decision. What he's saying is decision. Okay? So, he's saying if the decision by one to condemnation, what will that decision be? Unbelief, rebellion, disobedience. And what will happen by that? Condemnation. So what will condemnation also mean there? Death. Is that clear? So the same pattern again is telling you from Adam, his decision brought about this. So also, but the gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. Now, what will be the gift there? What will be the gift? Okay? So what will be the gift? People, now, I want to be sure you have understood so far. What will be decision there? Because it's a comparison. Draw a table in your mind. It's a comparison. Okay? So he's saying decision, offense, meaning the same thing, disobedience, right? So what will be the gift there? Obedience. So, also, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So, the gift there is an action of obedience. There are many offenses because there's a reign of death. So, even in the midst of that many offenses, in the midst of plenty, the reign of death, this obedience will still abound to life. Is that clear? All right, can we move to the next verse? 17. Finish writing. We're done. Okay, 17 now. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the free gift and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So the same repetition is not automatic. Offense is an action. Gift there is also an action. So if by one man's offense death reigned by one, also one man's gift, one man's obedience brought about life. And each one on that takes whatever, anyone who emulates any of the action, we get the corresponding nature. Same thing. Same thing. Okay, so let me wait for you, or we'll get to verse 18. Verse 18. Okay, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, if you're using KJV, what will you see upon that judgment came? Italicized. What will you see up in that free gift? Italicized too. So what he's saying is that as by the offense of one, what came upon all men was condemnation. But who will be that all men there? The ones who follow that same pattern. Don't forget, it must be everyone who follows that same pattern that will get the same thing. So also in Christ, the righteousness. So what will righteousness be there? What will be righteousness there? Another word for righteousness. Rauch, are you following? What will be the righteousness there? Obedience. Okay? So the righteousness upon all men to justification of life. So what they will not get, all those who follow that same pattern will get the same thing, which is justification of life. So as people are getting condemned, so men are also acting after the pattern of righteousness and they are receiving life. The two patterns currently exist on earth. The two patterns are there. Two influences are there. Copy the action, you get whatever comes from that action. Simple. But don't forget, it is not a once and for all thing. So long as the person is still on earth, even if right now his path is following the pattern of obedience, is it possible for him to change his mind? Is it possible for him to change his mind? Yes, so long as he's alive. That is why the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the tool of God's appeal that we keep presenting to a man to influence him to change and alter his decision from rebellion to what? To life. So, but he, until he does that, what canopy is he under? What canopy is he under? Adam's canopy. So the gospel is trying to tell him, come from here, follow this pattern that you have seen in Christ, and pattern after that. Simple. Okay, so can we go to verse 19 now? Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So you see again, it's not automatic. It's not automatic. So the sinners there will now be their nature, which will be that sin nature, which will be the pattern, repetitive action. Then the righteous there will now be the nature that comes as a result of the action of obedience. Okay? Now verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Okay, so the law entered, the law came to expose what was there. It made it obvious. It made that sin, that unbelief, obvious. But where sin, which is that unbelief, abounded, grace did much more abound. That means, as the law of Moses came to amplify sin, and the law came to reveal that sin is present, but that's exposure cannot override grace. Grace there will be obedience. So even if we say there is a pattern of disobedience already in the world, a huge influence, we cannot say that it is so huge that it overrides a pattern of grace, of obedience. Okay? This obedience, this pattern of obedience, also much more abounds. It cannot be silenced by the other pattern. Is it clear? The law cannot override the action of obedience, even over those that the death is reigning over. It will not be able to override it. Before Christ, and even now, the Christ has been made manifest. So verse 21 now rounds up everything and says that as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Sorry. Okay, please read 21 for me. Unto death, even so reign through righteousness by Jesus. Hallelujah. So to show that you have understood so far, we are going to do the same classwork. Some of you were not there before. So please draw a table in your book. I'm going to have two tables. Just draw it like this. Like this. Like this. Okay? Now the two influences we have discussed about, unbelief or rebellion or disobedience. Okay, let's just use the same thing, disobedience. Then the second pattern, obedience. Just like 8 lines or 7 lines or 10 lines maximum should do. Or the columns. Row. Okay. Like 10 rows, 2 columns. Then after you have done that, you'll now draw another table under it. A separate one now. This will now talk about the consequence of each of those two influences. So in one column, you put death, and the second column, life. You get it? Huh? Let's go begin. The first column, draw 2 tables. The first table, 2 colon. The first colon, disobedience. Second colon, obedience. Then, leave like 10 rows under that table, in that table. Then draw another table under it. Same 2 colon. Colon 1, death. Colon 2, life. You get it now? Like that. You see that my own table? Not clear though. Amplified, peace. So faith, unbelief, like that. Or disobedience, obedience. Then after the second colon, that talks about their nature, consequence that will come out of that. So, now read that same Hebrew, that Romans 5 again from verse 12 to verse 21 on your own. For those, okay, for example, now, Father Abraham, you're already there to assist the brother by your right. Then somebody else, Buki, you pick somebody to assist. The rest of you are doing on your own, no? But it's not saying somebody you assist you, a test of that you've understood something. If you don't understand it, then we'll do it again. Okay? So if I see anyone who needs assistance, I will point someone to help them. But each one, do your own on your own. You have 5 minutes. So we'll start the second part of the service. You understand? So you read Romans 5:12. In that verse, in that Romans 5:12, you will identify the phrase, the word that talks about disobedience there. Huh? Let me be sure you are following. The word that talks about disobedience. If in that verse you don't see the word disobedience, but which word there shows disobedience? Write it under your pattern of disobedience. Which word there shows obedience? Write it under the pattern of obedience. Like that. Then we know that the consequence of an action, of if it's disobedience, the consequence is death. Which word shows that death? It might not be death written there. If it's another word that shows that death, put it under your second colon of death. If the word that shows life, put it under that second colon of life. Is it clear? All right, so start.